Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
And we are in part two of the series called Unstoppable. It's a series through the book of Acts. So first book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, say it with me if you know it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Fifth book of the New Testament, it's the story, the account, the unfolding history of the church and why the church became unstoppable. And today we're going to dive into the fact that the unstoppable church of Jesus is unstoppable because of the unstoppable Spirit of Jesus. And the Spirit of God is what makes all the difference. How's your hearts this morning? Ready to receive? Come, let's take a moment and pray. Father, in these moments, we want to give you our weeks past. You know, just speaking to so many of you before the service, so many of you have said, sure, it was a hectic week. It was a busy week. Some said it was a good week. You could see and celebrate lots. Some said it was a tough week. We've each got our weeks, haven't we, that we've been through. This morning, as we prepare our hearts, God, we want to give you our weeks past. We want to give you the week that lies ahead. And we want to ask you, Father, to have your hand upon these moments. We're so mindful of the fact that the present is all we have. The past is gone and the future is not guaranteed, but the present is the moment. It is the time that you can be so present to us. And so come, would you join me, Thrive Church, as we prepare our hearts this morning. Father, we are present to you in this moment. We are present to your Spirit. We're present to your Word. Help us to dial into you this morning. Help us to hear with the ears of our spirit this morning. Help our hearts to be plowed this morning. Receptive soil, good soil. God, we want to not only hear your Word, but we want to be disciples of your Word. Jesus, we want to be followers of you. We want to hear your Word and listen and apply it. We want it to soak us this morning. We want to receive your Word well into our hearts and into our spirits. We want to bear fruit from your Word this morning. So I pray this morning that today would not be a time where we are in church and we hear your Word, but that it would be a time of personal transformation, that the Holy Spirit would speak so clearly and so powerfully and change us, that we would walk out of this place this morning, having met with you, having heard you, having been shaped by you, in Jesus' name. Everybody in this 8:30 who is ready for God's word, said, amen. Amen, amen. Thanks, everybody. Have a seat. And I do want to just say in that moment, as we're in the moment of getting ready to receive God's word, I just want to ask each one of us to receive God's word well and to help others receive it well. So I want to ask you not to get up and go to the loo. If you need to go to the loo, just knape. And if you need to fold your legs and just do this, well, everybody next to you will just be thinking, he's folding his legs. She's folding her legs. Just help make this a sacred space, so that we can receive God's word well, so that God's not busy with somebody and then you move past and it's your bum that causes somebody to miss a moment. Can I get some amens?
Amen.
Amen. And all those who wanted to go to the loo looked down and said no. Let me start this morning by telling about a man called Jack Canfield. He wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul together with his colleague. Now, Jack Canfield wrote the Chicken Soup for the Soul stories, and I want to encourage you today. Did you know that they went to over 130 publishers, all of whom said no, but the 131st publisher said yes, and because that publisher said yes, over 250 different books in the Chicken Soup for the Soul range have been sold, and over 500 million copies in totality have been sold. Isn't that amazing? The why? Because his idea was unstoppable. Man called Jan Koum, I don't know if you call it Jan or Jan, he's Ukrainian, so who knows, but he is the founder of WhatsApp. And did you know that he interviewed in his, a few years ago, he interviewed for a job at Facebook, and he actually got to the final interview stage and Facebook rejected him. And so he decided to go with his idea and he built WhatsApp, all of which we use. And we have a love or hate relationship with WhatsApp, don't we? Some days we love it, some moments we hate it. Anyway, he thought, what can be better than working for Facebook? I know, I'll build WhatsApp and then I'll sell WhatsApp to Facebook for $19 billion. Why? Because his idea was unstoppable. You know what his idea was? He wanted to have a messaging service where you could have your own little profile picture. And of course, all of us spend the rest of our lives updating our profile pictures. His idea was unstoppable. Howard Schultz, you may not know that name, but every one of us knows the name Starbucks. Howard Schultz went to, I want to get the number right today, over 241 funding institutions to try and get money for his idea, which was to start a coffee shop that would provide accessible coffee that could be scaled and do chain stores where you would get the same cup of coffee no matter where you went in the world. And 241 of them said no, but in fact, 242 said no, and he eventually got the seed capital for his business, $400,000. He got it from private funders, and aren't the banks sorry they said no to him? Because as of last year, Starbucks has 38,038 stores around the globe. They employ 391,000 people, and they add two new stores on a daily basis. Why? Because his idea was unstoppable. The Church of Jesus is God's idea, and it is unstoppable. The reason it's unstoppable is not simply because it's a good idea. It's a great idea. In fact, it's a God idea. In fact, it's the saving idea for our planet. But more than that, it's unstoppable because of the unstoppable Spirit of God that birthed the church, sustains the church, and the Spirit of Jesus builds the church. And so what we're about today, I mean, just look around you. Who would have thought that you'd be sitting with, did you think when you were in high school that you'd become an adult and sit in an assembly of amazing looking people like you are right now? Did you ever think that you'd be in such good company? It's not the people that you're sitting next to, it's the Spirit of God in the people that you're sitting next to. Are you with me today? We obviously can't say that to the 10:30 service. I'll change the sermon for that. Let me take you right back to the moment when this unstoppable idea of God began. If you want to know when unstoppable began, it happened in Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers, they were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house. Now, when you're reading the book of Acts, or when you're reading the book of Luke's gospel, look out for the Holy Spirit as a theme, and look out for the word filled, because it's all over the show. It filled the house where they were sitting, and then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with what? The Holy Spirit, and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Quick Jewish history lesson. Pentecost was a regular festival. It took place for the Israelites to bring their first fruits, their first of their harvest. It was also called the Festival of Weeks. It was this moment when Israel would gather together in Jerusalem in honor of God, and they would bring the first fruits of their harvest to God. And God, in his wisdom, chose this moment, this festival, Pentecost, to launch the church, for the church to be birthed. And it happened because everybody was in Jerusalem already. So God chose this gathering moment, this moment when he knew Jerusalem would be filled with his people. When the people had the first fruits in their mind, the Holy Spirit comes as the first fruit of the church. He comes and he births the church by coming and settling on people, almost in this picture of a flame that lands on people's heads, and similar to the burning bush, it consumes them, but it doesn't burn them up. There's this parallel with Moses coming in the desert, the Old Testament account of in Exodus, as he looks at the burning bush, and the burning bush is attractive. It's magnetic. It draws him, but it doesn't burn him up. It doesn't burn the bush up. And so this is the moment when the Spirit of God descended upon the people of God. And it was the first fruit. It was the first time. It was the beginning of the pattern which God was putting in place to say, whenever my believers gather, the Holy Spirit will be present. That's why I never come to a church service simply thinking I'm pulling into something and we're singing some songs, I'm listening to something, I'm sitting in a chair. No, no, no. You are engaging in this beautiful thing called the church. And the church is not a location, it's not a destination. The church is an identity. Church is who we are. Are you with me? Tell the person next to you, you don't look like a church. But we are the church, aren't we? We are the church. The unstoppable church of God was birthed in this moment in Pentecost with the unstoppable Spirit of God. Today we're going to explore three aspects of the church's power. The first is that the church operates under the mandate and has received the promise of power. The thing that makes the church work is the Spirit of God. And so you're sitting here together, enabled by. We have the unity that we have as a church. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God. First thing that you need to understand is that the church operates in the promise of power. And that promise of power is the Spirit of God that is present within us. This is a supernatural gathering. You go to a concert, I mean, pick your favorite band, you go to a concert, you will never feel the same Spirit that you feel when you're in church. Why? Because the Spirit of God binds our hearts together in ways that we can't fully explain. First thing is the promise of power. Now, because of this promise of power, a man called Peter, one of Jesus' followers and apostles, Peter, who denied Jesus three times to we might say, low-risk people, a servant girl, around a fireplace. Peter is so scared that on the night of Jesus' betrayal and arrest, Peter can't even own up to being Jesus' follower to a young servant girl. The same Peter, after Pentecost, track with me, because he operates now under the promise of power that came, Peter has now revolutionized his life. His life has changed. One day, him and John, they're walking to the temple. Acts 3 tells the account in Scripture. They're walking to the temple one day. They see a guy who's lame on the side of the road. The guy asks for money. Peter and John stop. They speak to him. They say, I'm so sorry, dude. Actually, they didn't have dude in those days, but they just said, I'm so sorry, guy. Silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we will give to you. What we have is the name of Jesus. You see, they were operating under the promise of power. And so they said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he grabs him by the hand. He gets up and he begins to dance into town. Okay. Peter's a different guy. Because of this miracle, Peter and John get hauled in front of the Jewish authorities. And now they stand in front of the Jewish authorities. And the questions become, how are you doing this? What are you doing? Why are you using Jesus' name? And they try and forbid Peter and John from using the name of Jesus. Because remember, they're operating under the promise of power. And the authorities know that. And so they forbid them from using the name of Jesus. And Peter and John basically go, we can't do it. We must use the name of Jesus. Because that is the name above every other name. And so now, here's what happens is, when you have the promise of power, the church is birthed, and the church begins to speak truth to power. Notice how now Peter is the guy who goes, it's not going to happen. I don't care who you are. I don't care what authority you have. We will speak the name of Jesus, because that's the mandate that we have. And so when the church is functioning under the promise of power, it now can speak truth to power. Are you with me? And this is the church's role, and this is part of the church's mandate, that the church must be the institution. And Peter is modeling this. Peter's giving us, and again, a first fruit. He's giving us a pattern that the name of Jesus must be declared, and power structures must hear the name of Jesus, and we must speak truth to power. Are you with me? So Acts 4, verse 8 to 12, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel, he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man whom," check how he's fearless he is, "the man whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scripture." Peter changes from a wuss to a gangster because of the Spirit of God. Are you with me? Are you with me? And he says, basically, we must speak the name of Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It enables the church of Jesus, the unstoppable church of Jesus, enabled by, fueled by, the engine of the church is the Spirit of God, the unstoppable Spirit of God, which operates under the promise of power given by at Pentecost, which was a first fruit, a pattern for what you and I operate. And every single one of us right now in this moment, you can and will operate under the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's what enabled you to have faith in the first place. That's what enables you to follow Jesus. That is what will enable you to step into eternity and to be known as one of Jesus's own. But the church lost its way in about 380 AD because the Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity. And up until that point in time, Christianity was the outside religion. Christianity was the religion that was not permitted. And so if you were a Christian, you would not bow to Caesar. You would not say Caesar is king. And because of that, you would be killed. But in 380-odd, Constantine converts to Christianity, and then his successor, Theodosius, makes Christianity the state religion because he also has become a Christian. And in his lack of wisdom, he thought it would be a good idea to make Christianity not only permitted, but now it's the state religion. So now, all of a sudden, if you're Roman, you're a Christian. But of course, we know that pagans don't convert to Christians overnight. Yeah, just because you name something a religion doesn't mean that people have now become Christian. But what it did do is it made the church safe, it made the church secure, and it made the church an institution of the state. All of a sudden, the church, which was persecuted, which was fired up, which was full of men and women doing all sorts of amazing, wonderful things, all of a sudden now it was the state religion, and all of a sudden it lost its ability to speak truth to power. This is why church and state must always be separate. This is why no church should ever pray for one political party. I saw our president last week in a church in Cape Town where they explicitly stated they are praying for the ANC. This is what enabled apartheid in our nation. The NG Kerk got co-opted by the state as a vehicle to legitimize apartheid. And it lost its ability to speak truth to power. This is what happened in Nazi Germany. The Lutheran Church got co-opted, got into bed with the state. All of a sudden, it was an enabler of Nazi ideology. That's why you'll never see a politician on our platform. Can I get some amens? Nobody goes on the campaign trail in our church or any one of our AG churches. Why? Because the church must be free to speak truth to power. This is why Bishop Tutu was such an amazing example. Because when the apartheid government was in place, he would stand and he would wag his finger at them and he would rail at them and he would be an anti-apartheid activist and he would tune them good and proper. He would get thrown into jail for it, no problem. And then when the ANC government came into power, what did he do? He stood and he wagged his finger at them. And he said, "Hey, this is not okay. Now you're in power. Now you want to start stealing." No. Why? Because he never hooked up with a party. He never hooked up with government. What's our job? speak truth to power. And the church and the state must be. I love this quote because this is what happened in Europe. Now, James Madison said the purpose of separation of church and state, he's speaking from a European perspective, is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries. So much bloodshed, so much heartache, such a poor witness of the church because the church and government did this. People say, don't we want the government support? No, we don't. The church doesn't need the government support. Are you with me? Jesus will build his church. Governments come and go. Parties come and go. Man-made leaders come and go. Jesus builds his church. And may I say this? The places where the church is most persecuted is where the church is most vital. It's where the church is most alive. It's where the church is most at work. Can I get some amens in this independent church? So number one, we operate under the promise of power. Because of that, we can speak truth to power. And because of the unstoppable Spirit of God, when we pray, there's both power and prayer. So now Acts 4:29, Peter and John come back. They get released. They get told not to preach in the name of Jesus. They go, it's not going to happen. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. And then they come back to their people, the church, and they begin to pray. Check it out. And now, Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with miraculous power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And here's where I wanted you to take special note this morning. After this prayer, the meeting place shook. And they were all with what? Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. Notice with me today the progression. It'll be on the screen. There's prayer, there's power, there's filling, and then there's witness or sharing. Have you ever been, I mean, imagine how exciting that must have been. Imagine being in a prayer meeting when the place starts shaking. The closest I think we've come is encounter, hey, when the balcony shakes. On a Sunday evening, if you've never come to an encounter, the next time you hear encounter night, come along and watch the balcony shake. The structural engineers have confirmed that all is still good. Don't stress. But it pumps, doesn't it? There's energy, there's vitality. Why? Because the Spirit of God is working in people's hearts and in their lives. Now, so the point that I'm making is when we pray, when the church prays, when you're in your car and you pray, when you're in your shower worshiping and praying, friends, you in that moment, you are the church. And when we come together and we pray, we are the church. And when we gather together online and we pray, we are the church. Are you with me? I'll never, ever approach your prayer for anything thinking that it's me, myself, and Irene praying. Say to yourself, I am a member of God's church. And in this moment, my identity is the church. And so I begin to pray as the church prayed and expect the ground to shake. Are you with me? And I thought, you know, what we're going to do is to do two things when it comes to praying. Firstly, in this moment now, we're going to pray together for our country and for the elections coming up in May. And this is the reason why we're doing this series at the moment, is because it's so important that the church understand who they are and the power they have. You know what saved our country from civil war in the 1994 elections? The church. There were amazing church men and women that were on the ground, at the grassroots level, in the local places, in KZN particularly, which was a hotbed. And there were people doing peacekeeping efforts. There were bush escapes happening or retreats happening where church leaders were taking members of every political party on the landscape at that time, their leaders, they were meeting in the bush north of Polokwane to understand peace and to send them back. The church leaders were telling the politicians, this is what you will tell your people. Yeah. Can I get some amens? So when we pray with power. And I was wondering, can I ask for us to stand this morning? And I've got a prayer that I put together for our church to pray. And it's called the 2024 election prayer for our beloved country. And so we pray this, number one, as the church. Amen. We pray this as a church separate from the state, beholden to no power structures. We pray this because we have the promise of the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And so we don't pray on our own. We pray with the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We pray with the promise of power. We pray because we can speak truth to power. And we pray because we see in the early church when they prayed, there was power accompanying their prayer. Anybody believe that Thrive Church's prayers and the prayers of every single Christ-centered, Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-filled church praying from now until the election time can change the outcome of what happens. And it doesn't matter what political party gets in. It doesn't matter how the elections go. God can make sure that those who are corrupt can be removed from power. God can make sure that those who are honest, who are hardworking, who are servant-hearted, who want the best for our nation, those who are competent, those who have the desire to serve this country and serve the people, God can make sure that those people are elevated to positions of power. Are you with me? So come, would you join me and shall we pray together? I'll lead us. Lord, we the people of South Africa thank and praise you for your great love and the graces of healing and peace you continually offer to us as a nation. As we prepare for the elections 2024, please send your Holy Spirit to guide us as we choose leaders for our nation, leaders who aspire for the common good of our nation, leaders who fear the Lord in their hearts. May our people prepare to vote and enable them to vote thoughtfully and freely. May all the officials and volunteers of the IEC be honest and work diligently to ensure all regulations are followed. May the South African Police Service be well prepared to maintain safety and security during voting and counting of votes. May all media houses and journalists report fairly, truthfully, and broadcast no hate speech. May all leaders and people in general respect the right of voters to vote confidentially and freely. May we as a nation accept the results with gratitude, a spirit of peace, and declare the voting process as having been free and fair. Our loving Father, may your will be done. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 I fully expect the ground of our country to shake beneath the prayers of God's people this election. Amen. So what we're going to do is tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., we're going to be praying together as a church online. Both campuses coming together online. You'll see the details should be on the screen for you. There's going to be a Zoom ID that'll be on the screen for you. I want to encourage you to take a note of it. Maybe what you could do is get the WhatsApp number that will be on the screen. Make sure that you WhatsApp the number, then those details will be sent to you. That's a useful way of doing it. But however you do it, log on tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We're going to pray together, and we're going to go a little bit deeper in our prayer. Does that sound good? Amen. Awesome. Thanks, everybody. Have a seat. This morning, we're understanding that the Church of Jesus is unstoppable because of the unstoppable Spirit of God. When the unstoppable Spirit of God came, it was the promise of power. And you and I, as followers of Jesus, we operate under the promise of His power. Because of that, we can speak truth to power, and we can pray independently for our nation. Are you with me? And when we pray, there's both prayer and power. There's no such thing as the church praying with no power accompanied to it. Are you with me? Now, in all three of the texts that I read this morning, track with me. The summary will be on the screen. There's a common phrase, and the common phrase is filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verse 4, it'll be on the screen. Everybody present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, what was he? With the Holy Spirit. And Acts 4, 31, after their prayer, the place shook, and they were all. We have the promise of power. The Holy Spirit enables us to speak truth to power, and He gives our prayers power. How? Because you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 5:18, and he says, don't be drunk with wine. I love how Paul just states the obvious. He's like, that's fine. Don't be drunk with wine. Doping too much is not good, he says. Because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled. How do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? It's important to understand this. Aideen, where are you? It's important to understand this. How do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Paul writes that word be filled is present continuous and it's also passive. Meaning, we can be filled, not fill yourself with the Holy Spirit, be filled, right? And it's present continuous. Keep going. Keep filling yourself. Are you with me? So when we're being filled, it's present, it's ongoing, and it's passive. I want to give you just a few things this morning, and I've put them into an acronym for you. The acronym is called MOP. Meditate, obey, pray, and purity. Meditate on God's word. Obey His word. Pray in the Spirit, and pursue purity. Can I take a moment and just unpack that for us? Meditate on God's word. There's a profound difference between meditating on God's word and reading God's word. You can read God's word and not meditate on God's word, but it's impossible to meditate on God's word without reading God's word. Are you with me? But meditating on God's word is so different because we read it and then we digest it and then we chew on it. In fact, that word is actually akin to that it's almost like a cow chewing the cud. Has anybody watched a cow chewing the cud? Well, he chews it or she chews it and then swallows it and then just brings it back up for a little second chew. It's very gross, isn't it? And then he swallows it again and then brings it up for another chew. And what's he doing? He's getting every ounce of nutrient out of it. And so when we take a scripture and we begin to meditate on it, we begin to chew the cud on it. We begin to get every ounce of nutrients out of it. I'm meditating on 1 Peter 5 at the moment and make every effort to add to your knowledge goodness. And to goodness, make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to goodness knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly affection. Are you with me? It's kind of like meditating. Meditate. Obey, actually do it. There's no point hearing God's word and then just, you know, like water off a duck's back. When it says give to Caesar what is Caesar's and then cheat on your tax return, it's like, what's the point? It's gone so quiet in this Anglican. Pray in the Spirit and pursue purity. In other words, don't quench the Holy Spirit. When He prompts you about that thing that He's wanting you to do, don't ignore Him for too long, otherwise He's going to stop speaking. Hey, you know, in your marriage or in your friendships, if you say something to somebody and it's really important and it's really important for their welfare and you say something to them and you encourage them to do something or not do something and they ignore you, eventually there comes a point in time when you stop speaking. Isn't that right? That's what I mean by the purity aspect there. Pursue the purity of not quenching the Holy Spirit. So meditate, obey, pray in the Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. But really the key to being filled with the Spirit is to being close to the mouth of the one who does the filling. That's why meditate on His word. What are you doing there? Positioning yourself near His word so you can hear His voice. Obeying His voice. praying in the Spirit so that you can communicate clearly with Him, not quenching Him so that you have ears to hear Him. And I thought about it, you know, here we've got a beautiful Thrive Orange balloon. How many of you know this balloon cannot fill itself? Would you agree? It's got to be filled. The only way this balloon's going to be filled is if it's close to the mouth of the one who can do the filling. So I can't say to this balloon, be filled. The balloon's got to come closer. You know, I'm out of breath. The only thing that's resulting in this being filled is it's close to the mouth of the one with breath. You with me? Meditate on His word. Get close to the one with the breath in His lungs to fill you. Obey. Don't hear it. Meditate on it and disobey it. Pray in the Spirit, in your heavenly language. If you're not able to pray in tongues as yet, I remember I was sitting in a service just like this. I think I was 20. The pastor spoke about it and he said, hey, if anybody wants to, let me pray for you right now. It happened for some people and then it didn't happen for me. And I remember going home and I was like, oh man, why didn't it happen for me, you know? And then I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to give you the balloon and the jewels, thanks. And I thought to myself, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and I'm going to pray by myself in my room. That's how hungry I was. How many of you know God responds to hunger, right? And so my room was like in an outside little granny flat. And I remember kneeling next to my bed on a Sunday afternoon after church. I can still remember my dad had put a chicken flatty on the Weber. And the chicken flatty had just started to smell nice. Anybody, yeah, you know, smell is so powerful, isn't it? You can remember smells associated with memories. And I can remember I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I started speaking in tongues to the smell of a chicken flatty. And so chicken flatties are close to my heart, like, you know? And next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, the 19th, next Sunday. We're going to be doing something special in the service and after the service as we're going to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. What am I saying to us today? The church of Jesus is God's idea. And because it's His idea and it's enabled by the unstoppable Spirit of God, this thing that binds us all together in unity, to Pastor Cann's point last week. The church is unstoppable because of the Spirit of God, the unstoppable Spirit of God. And we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. We not only have the promise of power that was poured out and continues to be poured out, we can, because of that power, speak truth to power. We have a mandate to speak prophetic truth and pray for our nation and pray for our spaces, pray for the kingdom of God to come to our workplaces, to our universities, to our college environments, to our church, to our nation. Are you with me? And when we pray, we don't pray as Joe Soap on his ace in his car driving to work. We pray as the church. And when you pray, as you pray for the nation and as we pray tomorrow night, be assured that the power of God will be working in our nation because of your prayers and my prayers. Can you say amen? Come, let's pray together. The Holy Spirit comes and He fills every single man and woman that makes a decision to follow Jesus. And the moment He fills you, He enables you with power. It's a power that no man and no woman can manufacture themselves. It's a power that cannot be faked. It's a power that is absolutely essential if you're going to follow Jesus as Lord and experience Him as Savior. And the moment a man or a woman says to Jesus, I want to follow you, His Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, He is the baptizer. He is the one who fills us with His Spirit. He enters your heart and your life. And so this morning, while we're in this beautiful space, I'm going to issue an invitation to anybody and everybody in the room. those who know they need to make a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe it's for the first time, or maybe years ago you did, but you're like the prodigal son. You went your own way, and today you want to come back and say, you know what, I want to get my life together under the lordship of Jesus. I would have the great privilege and honor of leading you in that. And so in just a moment, I'm going to ask you, if you want to respond to that this morning, when I get to three, that's just so everybody in the church knows when to do this. When I get to three, slip your hand up if you want to make an honest, sincere, earnest decision to follow Jesus in your life, to ask him to forgive you for your sin, and to ask him to lead your life here on earth. I'll see your hand. I'll say thank you. I'll pray for you. I won't call you out. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm just going to see you and say thank you. Ready? Here we are. On the count of three. That's you this morning. Slip up your hand on three. Ready? One, two, three. Hands up across this place. That's you this morning. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Up in the balcony. Can see both of you up there. Sir, up in the balcony as well. Sir, ma'am, up in the balcony. Down on the ground level. Just keep raising your hand. Thank you down here. Thank you, sir, over here. Thank you at the back. That's awesome. Thank you. You can take your, thank you. At balcony, I can see you guys. Thank you so much. I see you. I see you. Thank you. You can take your hands down. Come, church, let's pray together, shall we? Would you repeat with me? Come, let's be the church in this moment. What happens when the church prays? There's power. Imagine what will happen in the lives of those people that we're praying for right now that have just responded. Come, every voice in this place. Say, Father God, thank you so much for your grace, your goodness, your mercy. Jesus, thank you that you lived for me, died for me, and you're seated at God's right hand, praying for me right now. I say thank you. Forgive me for my sin. Lead me as Lord and save me as Savior in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website, and for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.